Our first reading on this Palm Passion Sunday is from the prophet Isaiah, one of the servant songs. Words that the early church heard as clearly referring to the suffering of our Lord. Hear the word of God. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let me confront them. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty?
Please pray with me. Holy God, we gather on this day to begin a week of contrasts, from hope to despair to hope again. As we begin the week, as we join with the crowd, help us cut through the noise to see what is happening, to see what is at stake. As the story unfolds, open us to both the hope and the pain. In this time of worship, prepare us to celebrate, to weep, and to wait. We pray in the name of the one who leads the parade. Amen. A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. Listen for God's holy word. After Jesus had said this, he went ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he came near Bethphage and Bethany at a place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice from all the deeds of power they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' Jesus answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." Some of you may know or have heard from me that this semester I'm doing a guided study with a scholar in Indianapolis, Dr. Alan Bozak. Dr. Bozak is actually a visiting scholar at the Christian Theological Seminary, visiting from South Africa. He was a prominent voice in the Black Reformed Church in South Africa during the years of apartheid. He was a voice speaking out against apartheid and actively engaged in the resistance. Just to refresh our history, apartheid in South Africa was a brutal regime of forced segregation. It began and it was undergirded throughout its lifetime by perverted Calvinist understanding that whites were elect and that black or colored Africans were damned to a life of subjugation. Starting after the First World War, the white government established laws enforcing this segregation, and blacks were even unable to vote in elections. By 1970, their citizenship had been revoked. Most of us probably relate the resistance of apartheid with Nelson Mandela, an important leader in resisting the regime and the leader that became president when apartheid was disbanded. But Dr. Alan Bozak was also involved in the conversations that the African National Congress and other nonviolent leaders were with the white national government when they negotiated the end of apartheid. As a church leader, he has been a prophetic voice in the worldwide communion of the Reformed tradition and is one of the authors of the Balhaer Confession that the Presbyterian Church has recently considered for adoption. So every few weeks I go to Indianapolis to hear him lecture and have conversation with him and get a behind-the-scenes insights on the brutality of apartheid and the remarkable end of that violent oppressions. And that end was remarkable. For years prior to apartheid, South Africa was faced with international boycotts, with economic pressures to end their unjust system. The United Nations even declared that system and its leaders as committing crimes against humanity. South Africa drew international attention for its racism, and since the 1990s, it has drawn attention for other reasons as well. It was assumed that the end of apartheid would have had to come about by force, that the end of apartheid would have to come about through civil war or even a violent coup of the government. If you listen to anyone outside of South Africa, there's no political scientist or no historian that would have predicted a nonviolent end to the regime. The nonviolent end to apartheid was historic, it was unexpected, and it continues to stand out as an exceptional moment in history. In our gospel lesson this morning, we witness another moment of something unexpected. The Gospel of Luke portrays this time in Jesus' life as great expectation and exaltation. The people were weary of the Roman occupation, and they had been hearing great rumors about the teacher from Nazareth, who healed the sick and fed the hungry and made the scriptures come alive. Some of them had seen the miracles firsthand. Some of them had heard the parables straight from Jesus' mouth. And now they had their deliverer. They had the long-awaited Messiah. The Savior was in their midst. But even in the midst of the excitement and the exuberation, the people knew that this Jesus Messiah who paraded in on a colt, was radically different than the Messiah that they were expecting. The Messiah that they were expecting to ride in like a military warrior akin to King David. As Jesus rode into town on a colt, he brought to mind the image in Zechariah 9:9 of the promised king humbly riding on a coat. Some people recognized this image and knew that this man was the king whom they had been waiting for. They were rejoicing and celebrating the goodness of God who had given them their new king. And it's in this joy that Luke describes people casting their cloaks on the ground, making a path for the Lord. It is the joyous arrival that we celebrate today as Palm Sunday. This was the scene for the victory celebration. Yes, the ironic victory celebration of Palm Sunday. The people were expecting change, major change, a change that they had not seen before. They were expecting God to do something special in their time, and God was about to transform their world. For the first time in years, the people could imagine freedom from pain due to the Roman oppression. Imagine the Savior, their troubles ceasing, the kingdom of God arriving. There's not much that is mightier than a belief that a better day has to come. The people gave their joy to pave the way for the coming of the kingdom. Imagine this type of commitment, this type of excitement that it takes to remove all of your clothes from your body and cast them into the street. Some of these people were so poor that this may have been all of the clothing they owned, yet they cast them on the ground so that King Jesus could have a royal pathway with which to walk. What could this world be like if we were so excited about our relationship with God and our relationship with all of God's community, if we committed to spreading the gospel in the way of St. Francis, who said, "Preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words." Those who remove their cloaks experienced the coming of the king, and they couldn't stay silent. Jesus was bringing about a revolution, and they couldn't keep it to themselves. Even before the days of Facebook and Twitter, in front of their friends and families and co-workers and leaders, military and political leaders of the world, they proclaimed that they had found Christ, the Messiah they had been waiting for all their lives. Jesus was bringing about a revolution. The kind of revolution that Jesus was starting wasn't a temporal or temporary one. It's an eternal, divine and expansive one, like what happened in South Africa with a nonviolent transition from apartheid. Jesus didn't bring about the kingdom of God by force. He brought about the kingdom of God by transforming people's hearts and minds and lives with radical compassion, love, and grace. And isn't it interesting that it's this very radical, this countercultural, nonviolent revolution that was so threatening to the secular and religious authorities, that only days after the Messiah parades through the streets of Jerusalem to shouts of Hosanna, Hosanna, that some of these same people will shout, crucify him, crucify him. To some extent, because we already know the end of the story, we don't really know what to make of Holy Week. Why willingly subject ourselves to the painful reality of Good Friday? Or the stillness of waiting on Holy Saturday when we can jump right to the resurrection? The painful reality of Good Friday is not simply remembering the suffering of Christ as he was convicted and sentenced to death and executed by the authorities. But it is also standing in solidarity with those who suffer with us today. As I enter into this Holy Week, I cannot help but think about some of the stories that I've heard in recent weeks of apartheid in South Africa, particularly the story of Nomonde Katala, who testified some years after her husband was tortured and killed, and his body was dumped on the road by the police. She opened her mouth to give testimony, to share her painful story, and no words came out. Instead, she threw her whole body backwards, and a haunting sound of wailing and crying came from her mouth. She wailed and cried out before she could form words. In her own suffering, and the suffering that had been inflicted on those who resisted the apartheid regime, she could not even form words, only loud and piercing cries. But there is something about going from palms to passion. There's something about both of those events that they share in common. In both of those things, there is an invitation from our Lord Jesus to stand with him by standing with those who suffer. An invitation to proclaim the countercultural revolution that Jesus brought of compassion, of love, of peace, an invitation to share that message with the world, that good news with the world. So as we celebrate and as we mourn and as we celebrate again, let us hear and feel and proclaim this good news. All thanks be to God. Amen.